Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirit. As for us, we are doing just fine. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have the pleasure, the very great pleasure of speaking with a fabulous young lady that is doing some amazing things in the area of assisting and helping people that cannot see, as some of us call them, people that are blind. Today we're going to talk with Ms. Holly Freeze. Ms. Holly Freeze is the founder of her own company, and she received her bachelor's degree in political science from the Lawrence University in Apple, Wisconsin. She received her master's degree in English and foreign languages from Southern Illinois University, and she also was teaching English as a second dialect in her area of specialty. Ms. Freeze is very passionate about working with young people and people of a little bit older in their years to help them to understand that they are not really limited, that they just need to learn to use some of the other skills, qualities, and attributes that God has blessed them with so that they can be positive and productive members of the community that we live in. She also has 9 years of experience in journalism, and for 34 years, Ms. Freeze went to the Washington, D.C. area where she was employed by the federal government, dealing with that hot weather, dealing with that cold weather, dealing with all of those little nuisances. For anybody that lives in the Washington, D.C. area, it can be a traveling nightmare. However, Ms. Freeze has been able to conquer, overcome, and move on through all of those different things. So she is one of those ladies that is truly a heroine in the sense that she's able to deal with all of those things, because we've got people that can see and have a hard time dealing with the Washington, D.C. metro area traffic alone. So working with the blind in the Fredericksburg, Virginia area is something that Ms. Freeze is, again, very passionate about, and her company is also a 501c3. So she's always looking for not only to help people, but also other things in the area of being able to help a nonprofit. So Volunteers for the Blind, again, is Ms. Freeze's company. And again, her passion is to help those that can't see. And right now, she's going to help some of us that can see to get a better understanding. So, Ms. Freeze, how are you today?
Pretty well, thank you. But we're still having a little trouble with the pronunciation of my name. It's Frisch.
Frisch.
As I was mentioning, Frisch, yes. It rhymes with fish, except that it has an R in it. And I believe it is the German equivalent of our word for fresh.
Frisch. Okay. So that's it right that
yes.
time? Frisch?
Almost.
Frisch.
Yes. Frisch, yes.
I'm getting there. You gotta help some of us out. Well, could you do us a favor and tell us a little bit about you, please?
Actually, you did a pretty good job of that yourself. After I finished college, I spent a short time working with people who were learning English as a second language. I worked with the Illinois Migrant Council and then ended up in journalism. I had my first job as a features editor of a magazine for the blind and deafblind. Now, what was interesting was that the medium was recording, not print, not electronic. Back in the late 1970s, I don't believe we had much in terms of electronic media. So because people were listening, it was a recorded magazine, I had to learn to write for the ear rather than the eye. And that is different. I had to keep my sentences shorter and more concise.
Mm-hmm.
I would say what I was doing then was most similar to a radio magazine program like All Things Considered, because print magazines have visual illustrations. Our recorded magazine had interviews with people, so you could hear their voices, you could hear the background sounds, and it meant I had to learn how to do a really good job of recording, because if I didn't, this was back when records were still in vogue, and we recorded at 8 1/3 revolutions per minute. Most commercial speeds are 33 or in some cases 16, but at that slower speed, if we didn't produce a good quality recording when it was mass produced, it sounded absolutely ghastly. So as my boss said when he evaluated my trial piece, Miss Frisch has much to learn about microphone technique, and I had to learn that in a hurry. It was a lovely atmosphere in which I worked in some ways. I had everything I wanted right there at my fingertips, because at least half of the staff was blind. But I knew that wasn't where I wanted to stay forever, or I would never be able to do anything else. So as you heard a little earlier, I did come to Washington, D.C. 34 years ago in the middle of the long, hot summer of 1980. There were 23 consecutive days when the temperature was above 90 degrees. So 6 weeks and 43 interviews later, I found my first job in the federal government as a writer with the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission, which was OSHA's oversight agency. My job was to learn how to read and digest a legal case, because the commission reviewed 24 decisions each month, and my job was to write these in what I still call plain English for public consumption. And at one point, this is in the middle of the, I arrived in the waning days of the Carter administration, and shortly thereafter, when Reagan became president, the reductions in force began. So as an attempt to save my job, I was loaned out to the Army Engineer Center's Public Affairs Office, which at that time was at Fort Belvoir. So I had a lot of commuting to do because I lived in Washington, D.C., and I had the opportunity to expand to writing other press releases and feature articles. And then eventually, despite these efforts, I became a reduction in force casualty and survived during the next 4 years doing part-time work, including fine arts telemarketing for the National Symphony Orchestra. Then in the late 1980s, I entered the field of rehabilitation counseling, where I stayed for the next 11 years. I was a vocational rehabilitation counselor, then an employment specialist, and finally had a brief opportunity to return to writing, which really is my first love. I was a public relations specialist for a small organization which had a wonderful progressive attitude toward integrating people with disabilities into the community in every possible way. Then for a short time, because the director there encouraged me, I had a for-profit company called Custom Writing and Editing. I loved my work, and I very quickly discovered I did not enjoy the profit-making world. I did not like having to keep track of my hours so that I could bill people for every minute of my time. Mm-hmm. So 8 years ago, I formed my current 501c3 corporation called Volunteers for the Blind, partly because of very positive experiences I had had. Originally, I was in Prince William County when my business opened. I had such positive experiences there working with volunteers that I thought I'd like to form my own agency and share these opportunities with other people. And that's how it got started. We opened our doors for business in March of 2006 with the two services of providing volunteer readers and volunteer shopping assistance for people who cannot see. A volunteer shopping assistant is not the same thing as a volunteer shopper. We like to do things with people rather than for people. One of these days I've been threatening to change our name to Volunteers with the Blind. And then later we initiated what has been my favorite program ever since. We have unpaid internships for people who are blind and have very little work experience, either because they're very young and have not had an opportunity yet, or because they lost their sight and want to gain some confidence working as people who are blind before they go out again and compete in the general employment market. We like to think of our office as a laboratory. I've had 7 interns. They're fabulous individuals. I've never fired any of them. I don't ever plan to fire an intern, but I always warn them that if they make a mistake, something a lot worse is going to happen than just being fired. They're going to have to try again and again and again until together we solve whatever is causing the trouble and figure out a way to accomplish whatever is being attempted.
Okay. So you now work out of the Fredericksburg, Virginia area. That's
yes.
Where you make work out of. I also know that you're a member of the National Federation of the Blind, the Stafford Rotary Club, the Great Falls Run Lions Club, and you're also
the Greater Falls Run Lions Club, yes.
And you were also formerly the president of the National Federation for the Blind in the District of Columbia and Alexandria and the West End Rotary, correct?
Yes, and the National Federation of the Blind. And currently I'm our chapter secretary.
Okay. So before because time will click away from us, I understand that you have an internship program. I know that you help people with reading, as in you match up reading and shopping assistance with people that are blind right now in the Fredericksburg area mostly. Could you also tell us about how do you, you're a nonprofit, how do you go about, you know, getting funds, things along that nature?
That's my least favorite area. I have a background in teaching and writing and would sell my soul for some help in the areas of fundraising and grant writing. Currently, we are funded exclusively from contributions and donations, And periodically, we have fundraising sales. We're going to be having one at the Salem Church Library, June 25th. And that's at 2607 Salem Church Road in Spotsylvania, Virginia. What we feature during our fundraising sales are delicious home-baked goods. Those are always our best sellers. Very often the Aquia Harbor ladies, Evening Lions, make them for us. And these are ladies who really know how to bake. We have lots and lots of jewelry, some of which was actually made and collected by a lady who was legally blind. I think of it as her memorial collection at the moment because we lost her a few years ago. At 79, most of us who knew her had no idea she was that old because she was so young in spirit and vibrant and full of life. We have lots of beautiful hand-knitted and crocheted items, including some really cute cat toys and some warm alpaca hats. And we have a large collection of audiobooks on cassettes and compact discs. What is special about this collection is there were at one time more than 500 offerings in it. These books were donated to us. But one of my interns brailled the labels for every single box. Now, what's significant about this is, first of all, they're error-free, and everybody would say, well, of course they're going to be error-free. Otherwise, it wouldn't be professional. But they are error-free and produced by a young man on whom the state of Virginia gave up. They said, you can't employ this person because it's going to take too long to train him and too many resources to get the job accomplished.
Wow.
He's our senior intern at the moment, and he has taught me incredible lessons about patience and standards and expectation, and given me an entirely new definition of the meaning of progress. And I like to think has made me a humbler and much better, or somewhat better, human being. I'm afraid I learn more from him every day than I'm able to teach him sometimes.
I understand. Could you let everybody know how they can get in touch with you if they want to find out about your programs, if they'd like to donate, be it that their time or money or services or something like that, or how they could get in contact with you to find out more about you, please?
All right. Now, the first thing is, because we are 501c3, nonprofit tax exempt, if you donate, you can write that off on your income taxes. I have a wonderful administrative assistant who's extremely prompt and conscientious and accurate about making sure everyone gets receipts. Our mailing address is Volunteers for the Blind, 1101 Caroline Street. That's Caroline Street, Suite 1, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22401. Now, anybody who would like to talk with us can call 540-899-8847. Thursdays is generally not a good day. Any other weekday, either my assistant or I will be in the office. And unfortunately, it's an antiquated telephone system, which shouldn't be, but it is. So if someone is not in the office, please do not give up. The machine really does pick up, but not until after the phone has rung 10 times. Now, there are two email addresses. If you're going to send us something general, then our email address is volunteersfortheblind@hotmail.com. That way my administrative assistant cleans it up, especially if it's something that isn't going to read very well on a talking computer. Anyone who would like to talk with me directly can email me at Hollis Frisch, HollisFrisch, @Verizon.net. All I ask is, please don't send me anything with graphics or pictures or other visual enhancements, because my talking computer tends to make absolute mincemeat out of some of that. But a straightforward email inquiry is fine. I monitor my phone and my email religiously. I love to have contact with people. So please feel free to get in touch with me if you have any questions whatsoever.
Okay. What would you like to tell those of us that are sighted out there about what you do and about the blind? Because you're a very powerful person in the sense that you've conquered a lot of different things in your lifetime. And I know a lot of people that can see are very ignorant to the life and the abilities of those that can. But could you share some of your thoughts on that for us, please?
We like to make it possible for people to be independent and dignified and retain whatever degree of privacy they choose. That's why we have volunteers, for example, to help with reading mail. Sometimes, especially as people become more independent and spend more time in the outside world, they develop lives, I don't want to say separate from their families, but they develop their own circle of friends and acquaintances, and maybe they don't want their family to know about every single thing that they're doing. It's not that there's anything wrong, it's just they like to have lives of their own. So sometimes it's very helpful to have another person to read mail, help pay bills, help with grocery shopping, to give that person a sense of autonomy and privacy. And as I emphasized before, we really like to do things with people. We like to engage in activities with people rather than doing things for people. There's a big difference. If you're a volunteer shopper, maybe you give that person a list and have him or her go to the grocery store. A person with a volunteer shopping assistant goes to the store, and the two of them work together as a team. I go with my shopping assistant each week, and I have the opportunity, because she's there, to do the comparison shopping that sighted people like to do. I have an opportunity to pick up the produce and handle it and leave the pieces with the bad spots in the bin where they belong, and take the ones that are nice and firm and full and ripe home so that I can enjoy the flavor.
Totally understand.
And I feel in control that way. I'm making my own decisions with some help.
Yes, ma'am. You can do it. You just sometimes need a little bit of assistance. Not a lot, just a little.
Right. A lot of times we don't need somebody to make our decisions for us. we need someone to give us information so that we can make good choices.
Understand. Just like anybody that can see, you want to try to get as much information as you can
yes.
so that you can be the adult that you were meant to be.
Yes. I have a friend who's a very no-nonsense attorney in Iowa, and she always says, this is a very cold-hearted way of putting it, but it's accurate. She considers a reader an information acquisition tool. Now, we don't quite take that same approach at Volunteers for the Blind. We emphasize the human aspect to the point where we have another program, which is occasionally necessary, especially to train high school and college students to work properly with live human readers. You know, if you get frustrated with your copy machine, you can kick it. And the worst you'll do is put a dent in it and maybe get a sore foot and maybe have to pay a repair bill. But you better not treat your human reader that way, or you're going to lose probably the most valuable resource imaginable and do a tremendous amount of damage, because that individual won't want to help another blind person. So we have this training program to preserve these live human readers and shoppers, which are indeed our most valuable, even invaluable, resource.
I understand. That's very powerful. And it's phenomenal that you're helping others that can't, because you were born blind. You're helping others
yes.
that can't see and those that can see to be better stewards of the world and the other people around them. So that's really huge. That really is. I was really looking forward to this show because I figured that I was going to learn some stuff. I learn stuff from every show, but this is a perspective that I could never think up. You know what I mean? Most of us couldn't go through the day that can see in darkness. So most of us can't even come close to fathoming what it's like for someone to wake up in visual darkness, go to bed in visual darkness, and deal from day to day. So it's a very humbling experience to listen to someone and to see all that you've accomplished. And that's really huge. That truly is, Holly.
Well, now, for some of us who have been born blind, there's never been any other way. So it's really no different in some ways from what it is for you, because I'm in my early 60s, and it has been this way all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you are saying in a sense, because I also work with people who are deafblind. And it was an incredibly humbling experience for me to be introduced to the world of someone who not only can't see, but can't hear. Our staff artist is an incredibly wise, kind, gifted artist and writer. And she taught me an incredible lesson. When I first met her, the only way we could communicate, unless we were in person, was through the Virginia Relay for the Deaf. Now, I have to say, I wasn't a very good person because I wasn't very patient with this resource. It's incredibly slow. I talk a million miles a minute, and that relay operator kept slowing me down and stopping me and making me spell things, and I didn't like it. I did everything I could to avoid communicating with this particular lady who is now our staff artist. But then something new developed on the Virginia Relay, a feature called Voice Carryover, where she could talk to me because she can speak. She can't hear. So that improved our communication because I was hearing her voice rather than that of a relay operator. But then email came along. This was in 1997, I think. And I was so excited. I thought, it's going to be so much easier to communicate with her. Well, it was for me, but it wasn't for her. She doesn't see very well because she has cerebral palsy. The only fingers she can use to type are the tips of her little baby fingers. And one morning, she called me. She said, "Hi, I've been typing all morning, and I'd rather talk than type because it took me 2.5 hours to compose an email consisting of 3 paragraphs.
Wow.
And that really helped me understand that communicating with someone who is deaf has nothing to do with what is convenient for me. It has to do with what that person who can't hear needs.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had a similar experience with another person who was deafblind. In my eagerness to get something accomplished, I went to visit him at work one day, and I thought I had developed a wonderful communication system. I didn't bring an interpreter because I decided I would type on the computer. He would be able to use Zoom Text, which is a screen enlargement system, to read what I said. He could, in turn, type, and my reader driver would tell me what it said. Very shortly thereafter, I was called into my supervisor's office because there had been a request to transfer the case to a more sensitive counselor because what I had done unwittingly was embarrass him. His means of communication was ASL, American Sign Language, and I was forcing him to communicate in standard English, which was not his language, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also embarrassing him because spelling was not his strongest point, and someone had to see this. And he was absolutely right to request a more sensitive counselor because, again, I had developed something that was convenient for me, not for him.
So yes, ma'am.
That's why I could relate to what you were saying about having a different perspective. You don't really understand a particular disability until you meet someone who has it or have an opportunity to work with that person.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank you for coming on and for sharing everything about Volunteers for the Blind and the work that you're doing in the Fredericksburg, Virginia area, along with your contact information. And I'm sure we'll end up doing another show together so that you can share even more information. So I'm going to
I'll look forward to that.
So, again, the Volunteers for the Blind is at 1101 Caroline Street, Suite 1 in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and that's 22401. And your office phone number is 540-899-8847. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And your email of preference would be volunteers, with an S, for the blind at hotmail.com.
No, that's the email if people want to send something, want to apply to be a volunteer or send us some literature. To communicate with me directly, the email of preference is hollisfrisch@verizon.net. I also neglected to mention, we have a website, which is all spelled out, volunteersfortheblind.org.
Okay. I will also add that to the show page. So volunteersfortheblind.org. O-R-G.
O-R-G, yes.
Okay. Well, again, Ms. Frisch, hopefully I said it right that time.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much for coming on the show and for sharing all of the information about Volunteers for the Blind. We look forward to having you on the show again, and if there's anything that we can do to help, please feel free to share that information with us. All right?
Thank you very much for having me.
And pat that big, beautiful dog of yours for me. Give him an extra wishbone or whatever it is that he likes to eat. Tell him it's from the little guy.
Right. Well, the one you heard barking at the beginning of the show is my medium-sized one. My big one is hiding in the crate because he thinks that there might be a rumble of thunder outside.
The big teddy bear.
My little one I call my home security system because she has a beagle bark and probably can be heard from one end of Fredericksburg to the other.
And the other one's a golden retriever, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, Holly, again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing all of this fabulous information with us. And as always on the Zurian Show, we wish you every success. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to thank you for coming on. And also, if you know of anyone or if there's anything that you'd like to do with Holly's organization, again, Volunteers for the Blind, if you'd like to donate to them, if you'd like to help them with grant writing, if you have some services or abilities that may be of use to them and of use to others, and if you know someone that can use her services, please contact her and do the right thing. Again, we all need help from time to time. And sometimes people don't know unless you share it. Word of mouth is a beautiful thing. Please remember that givers gain. And those of us that give, we may not see it in our wallet, but know that it's there in your heart and in the hearts of the people that you touch. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying thank you, take care, and again, we wish you, too, every success. Farewell, and you guys have a blessed day.